Praise to God, and good morning. Good morning. We'll share a brief word with you before we close. We're going to look at the book of Exodus, the beginning of the Bible. Exodus, second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 2. Years ago, I was reminded recently of the little bracelets that people wore a couple years ago that would say WWJD, and they stood for What Would Jesus Do? The topic of our word this morning is WWGS. WWGS. And we'll share a little bit more about what that might mean. But we're going to look at Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. And reading, it says, "Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him." The baby, of course, is Moses. We're familiar with the story. "This," Pharaoh's daughter said, "this is one of the Hebrew babies." "Babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." And the word Moses sounds like the Hebrew for draw out. So she named him draw out, basically. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Verse 11, "One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their labor." So verse 10 says, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." And then verse 11 says, "One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor." There is a huge gap between verse 10 and verse 11. In verse 10, Moses has just been weaned from his nursemaid, his mother's breast. So he's probably about 2 years old. Then it leaps to verse 11 and says, "One day, after Moses had grown up," and basically has skipped his entire childhood. So between verse 10 and the one day in verse 11, his entire young life has transpired. And so we don't get the details of that in this scripture, but we know that chronologically, in the meantime, Moses has lived a life as a prince of Egypt. But by later on, by verse 15, Moses had to forsake all of his princely life to flee because he had killed an Egyptian, because Moses had realized who he was. He, Moses, was an Israelite, and he realized his heritage, and he became mad about the injustice that had been put upon his people. And then later on in chapter 3, Moses has the burning bush experience. In chapter 3, verse 16 to 21, God describes in detail the future that Moses will face. He lays it all out because God sees the future clearly, while we can only see the past and the present, and we don't even see that clearly at times. But in the burning bush experience, God says, "Moses, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you to do this. You're going to go to Pharaoh. He's going to say this. You're going to do that." And then the priest is going to this. He lays it all out. Before it even happens, God lays it all out and tells Moses. But even with all that word, things got worse before they got better. In Exodus chapter 5, although God eventually delivered them out of Egypt, there was all these experiences the Israelites had to go through. And then there's the whole wilderness experience. So, but let's go back to the desert in Midian in chapter 2. Moses was in that verse 11 where it says, later on, where it says, one day after Moses had grown up, he was 40 years old when he came to grip with his roots. 40 years old when he visited the Israelites and the killing of the Egyptian happened and he fled to Midian. 40 years old. He had to leave everything he knew, all the trappings, the privileges, the perks and the benefits. He was now, after living a life of privilege and being a prince of Egypt and all that entail, he was now on the backside of a desert in some godforsaken, seemingly godforsaken place called Midian, lost, no purpose, no provision, didn't even necessarily know where to eat. He didn't have the skills really necessary to survive in the desert because the only life he had known was a life of luxury as a prince in the palace of Pharaoh. He has skills because he was trained, but the skills he had, he learned perhaps the skills of managing his staff of servants and the skills of managing legions of slaves, but he didn't have desert survival skills. That wasn't in his curriculum. So all of the skills and experience he had for that first 40 years seemed worthless now. But in verse 15, he finds a well, a water well in Midian, and as he sits down, perhaps in exhaustion and grief and depression, a young girl comes, and she's trying to get water from the well, and she gets hassled by some guys, and Moses, out of act of kindness, helps her out. Well, that kindness towards that young lady, Zipporah, began another path of destiny for her, because that kindness led to Zipporah. Zipporah led him to her father, Jethro. That led to marriage, led to being a shepherd, led to the burning bush experience, led to the call of God, led to the leadership of Israelites, led to the confrontation of Pharaoh, led to Exodus, led to Red Sea, led to wilderness, led to Canaan, and so forth. It is interesting to note that in Moses' life, I just realized this week, in Moses' life, Moses lived to be 120 years old. 120 years old. And his life is almost exactly divided into three sections of 40 years each. Very interesting. The first 40 years was his Prince of Egypt chapter. The second 40 years was he was a foreigner and a shepherd in Midian. That Midian experience lasted 40 years as a foreigner and a shepherd in Midian. In fact, after Moses married Zipporah and they had a son, he named the son Gershom, which is Hebrew for alien there. So he named his son Alien. Think about naming your son Alien. Come here, Alien. But that's how Moses felt because he was an alien in the land. But that 40 years experience, he adapted to it and he got used to it. And then he had this whole experience where, of course, he led the children of Egypt out, children of Israel out from Egypt, but then was in the wilderness for 40 years. So he had this 40 years as prince of Egypt, 40 years in Midian, and 40 years in the wilderness. Very interesting. But in Midian, in that second chapter, Moses had accepted his status as an alien, a foreigner, and he had kind of perhaps given up on his dreams, given up on any destiny which he thought that he might have had previously. And he kind of sees himself now on a safe, though unexpected, perhaps dead end in the desert. Maybe a consolation prize that he had grown to accept. This is my life in Midian. That Egypt thing seems so long ago. And here's the question. But what would God see in that time? And that's our title, WWGS. What would God see? What would God see? And I'm reminded of the Prince of Egypt movie, which many of us have seen, which described Moses' life. And there's a song in the middle of that movie, which is called Through Heaven's Eyes. And Jethro, who is the father of Zipporah, who became Moses' wife, Jethro is singing this song, and I'll just read some of the verses. Jethro says in this song, which is a animation of what the author of the movie thinks might have transpired in Moses' life. Jethro says, "A single thread in a tapestry, though its colors brightly shine, can never see its purpose in the pattern of the grand design. And the stone that sits on the very top of the mountain's mighty face, does it think it's more important than the stones that form the base? So how can you see what your life is worth or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life through heaven's eyes. A lake of gold in the desert sand is less than a cool, fresh spring. And to one lost sheep, a shepherd boy is greater than the richest king. If a man loses everything he owns, has he truly lost his worth? Or is it the beginning of a new and brighter birth? So how do you measure the worth of a man in wealth or strength or size? In how much he gained or in how much he gave? The answer will come to him who tries to look at his life through heaven's eyes. No life can escape being blown about by the winds of change and chance. And though you never know all the steps, you must learn to join the dance. So how do you judge what a man is worth? By what he builds or buys? You can never see with your eyes on earth. Look at your life through heaven's eyes. So the question for you is WWGS. What would God see in your situation? You, like Moses, may see yourself in a safe, though unexpected, dead end in a desert. You may see yourself in a situation which is you think a consolation prize that you have grown to accept. Or conversely, you may see yourself as being in the palace of Pharaoh with everything going according to your plan. However, what would God see? WWGS. What would God see? In Moses' situation, he was in Midian for 40 years. 40 years. That Egypt thing was so, I mean, I'm 51. My daughter's 11. I can't remember 40. So 40 years ago, I'd have been 11. I can't really, that's like a whole nother life. 40 years ago, I would have forgot all the stuff. 40 years ago. Moses said, okay, I see where I am. I'm in Midian. Oh, but Moses, what would God see? There's things that were spoken to you 40 years ago. See, in God, that 40 years is nothing. What would God see? WWGS. It is only when you get God's perspective that you will be able to line up with the call and purpose that is on your life. I challenge you to continue to draw near to God. James chapter 4, verse 7, we remember the part that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yeah, but the second part of that verse says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. So I challenge you, draw near to God. Draw near to God. It is then perhaps you can understand what would God see, WWGS, in your situation. And as you continue to pray, commune, and walk in obedience to God's progressive revelation. See, we want to understand it all at once. We want the revelation now. But for whatever reason, God doesn't work that way. God will give you a small little piece of the puzzle now and says, here's your puzzle piece. Thank you, God. Thank you. It's a mighty small puzzle piece. Okay. Where is it? But then he'll give you another puzzle like 5 years later. Okay, another piece. Okay, God. Okay, He won't give it to you otherwise. He gives you progressive revelation, little by little. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2 talks about that. You preach about that another time. But as you continue to pray, commune, and walk in obedience to God's progressive revelation, you will more and more see your world through heaven's eyes, through God's eyes. Amen. On three, shout Jesus. One, two, three.
Jesus!
Be blessed.